We have a quorum. It's 11:01. I'd like to call to order the December 2nd, 2021 Leon County Research and Development Authority Board of Governors meeting. Ron, do we have any guests?
No.
We need approval for participation by electronic means. Is there a motion? It's been moved. Is there a second?
Right.
It's been properly moved and seconded. On favor?
Aye.
It passes. Modifications to the agenda?
None.
Public comment?
No public. And no comments received by the committee.
All right, approval of draft meeting minutes. I trust everybody's had a chance to review the minutes. Are there any corrections?
I'll move it.
Motion to approve and seconded. Any discussion on that? All in favor?
Aye.
Minutes are approved. The consent agenda. Is there a motion to approve?
Mr. Chair, I propose that we move 7A over to item 12 and get all that done at one time. Instead of consent agenda, let's talk about it a little bit.
All right, so pulling 7A off the agenda and adding it to item 12.
In the future, we'll move that as part of the treasury report. It has been moved from the consent agenda, so we'll move it.
That modification? Did you move the consent
agenda? Yes, I moved, yes.
With that modification?
Move to pull it from the consent agenda and move it to item 12.
And approve the remainder of the consent?
Yes.
You want to pack that in? Both?
That's right.
And I'll second that.
All right, it's been moved to second. Opposition? All right, consent agenda is approved as modified. Item number 8, tech grant awards, award agreements. Ron?
Yes, the staff requests approval of these award agreements as was determined at our elevator pitch night. These are our winners.
I'll accept the motion.
So moved.
So moved and seconded. Any discussion?
Mr. Chair, I'll just say great job. It'd be a great job. I don't know if you know we had a chance to talk about this at a board meeting. I guess we haven't. This came out the last board meeting. I know it was tough on Zoom and a little bit of tech. Y'all handled it really well and looking forward to be back in person next year.
Yeah. And I'll echo that. Ron, you and your team did a wonderful job of pulling that together, hosting it via Zoom, another very successful event.
Thank you. Staff did a good job.
Any other comments?
Ron did a good job. Thank you.
So it's been, there's been a motion, it's been approved. Any discussion? All in favor of staff recommendation?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? It passes. Number 9, Dan Foss, variance request. Ron.
Yes, Mr. Chair. We actually have these two items that are variance requests that were submitted to the Development Review Committee. The first one is the Dan Foss variance. They requested the variance for the setback, which is this area you see highlighted in red, kind of orange a little bit. This is Roberts Avenue. So this is their new proposed facility on the 12 acres that we leased to them. Over here is the Florida Virtual Campus facility, which is owned by Avalanche Partnerships, LLP, which is a principal in that. And so what they're asking for is the variance of this setback from the property line for the parking lot. It's 8 feet rather than what the covenant's restrictions indicate is 25 feet. Keep in mind that this property was originally not under the covenant's restrictions. So it's kind of a mixed bag here. We've got it in M1 zoning with the city, not under the PUD. The Development Review Committee heard the variance request. We sent out all the required notifications. I personally had a conversation with Chip Harton, who had no objection to the request. The Development Review Committee has recommended that we approve the variance request.
Accept the motion.
I'll move it.
Second.
Any discussion?
Should we get that in writing from Chip, or do we need to?
We don't need to.
Okay.
But just for, go ahead.
Yeah, you have sole authority to do this. I just wanted to check with him just to make sure.
Okay.
Once it's approved, he doesn't have any legal recourse.
Okay.
If that's what you're concerned about.
Yeah. I am.
So, okay. Just for clarification, it is compliant with the city's zoning. It's a variance from the Innovation Parks covenants and restrictions.
That's correct.
Any other discussion? It's been properly moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
Passes. Number 10, it's another variance request. North Florida Innovation Labs.
Yeah, so we requested our own variance for the covenants and restrictions as it relates to this entrance right here. This is the North Florida Innovation Labs facility that we're getting ready to build. The design was trying to make the maximum use of the site given the karst features and other things we had to consider. So rather than this curb right here is supposed to be set back 50 feet. And it's that curve right there. And it is not. It's only set back 12.6 feet. But our understanding is that the primary reason for doing that is to make sure that when you have two adjoining properties, that they're not both putting driveways side by side in close proximity. Given that Dan Foss's driveway is a couple hundred feet away, the committee agreed that that's a significant mitigating factor and had recommended that we approve that variance request.
I'll accept the motion.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Hearing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Aye. Modification is approved. Number 11, the GSA National Park lease modification. This actually is a little bit more complicated, Ron.
Yes. In the COVID world that we live in, So I gave you some of the details. We received notification from the General Services Administration as it relates to the National Park Service lease that under the executive order 14042, we are required before any future exercise of any options or extensions to that lease, we're required to sign a modification to that lease that accepts the terms of that executive order and that we implement certain COVID procedures as a result. And that includes mandating that not only do our staff be vaccinated and mask and follow masking and social distancing guidelines, that all of our subcontractors who enter the building must also follow those procedures, not just in the building, but in their facilities, as well as anyone who works remotely. Except those that work remotely don't have the mask to follow the social distancing. That's the one caveat. So
I'm sorry, I can't help myself.
That was the synopsis of the situation. And I'm sure you've all followed, you know, a lot of the developments that have happened as it relates to what the governor is doing and the laws that they just passed, and as well as some of the other litigation that's going on. I've had discussions with council on, and as well as with Talcor in terms of the practicality of trying to implement this. It does present a lot of challenges. Talcor does have another client that has to implement this as well and has agreed to the lease modification, but it's a simpler operation inside of a bigger building. They don't have many people going in there. In our case, it would impact folks like the HVAC technicians and their companies. It would affect janitorial services as well as, any other, mechanical, like plumbing, electrical, that on occasion might go into that facility. I asked Melissa to look at the recent developments and comment on and answer any questions you might have in terms of the impact that it might have. And Melissa, do you have more to add at this point?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's two things, Ron, since the last time that you and I spoke. I mean, one is obviously that Florida's passed its law, which says that we can't have a vaccine mandate unless there's certain exemptions, allowed by the by the employer, which includes things like medical exemptions, religious exemptions, exemptions for pregnant or soon to be pregnant women, and natural immunity, which is people that have had COVID. There's also been a recent case, and the litigators in my office and the people that are tracking this on a daily basis for clients and for our firm, because we're, you know, obviously an employer that has to decide what we're going to do about our employees being vaccinated and our requirements. Within the last 24 hours, there's been a decision issued by the Eastern District of Kentucky, which issued a stay enjoining the Biden's executive order, basically saying that it can't be enforced. So there is some portion of the United States, it's a small portion, but that is not currently allowed to enforce the executive order. So I think we do have some authority, Ron, to go back now to the GSA and say two things. One is, which is, you're asking us to sign a contractual amendment that basically is going to have us violate Florida law, one. And two, although we're not in this jurisdiction, there is now some federal case law, or at least a federal decision out there that also supports the Florida law. So we're really kind of in this weird situation where the case law is evolving on a, sometimes hourly basis. And we're in this weird position where we could possibly be violating Florida law by complying with this contract amendment. So it might give us a way to go back to the GSA where we didn't have this, Ron, when we talked, two or three weeks ago. Might give us a way to go back to the GSA and at least, if nothing else, give us a reason to continue discussions with them and buy ourselves a little more time, if that's something we want to do, unless we just know, without a doubt that we don't want to sign or that we do want to sign. If we're still not certain what we want to do moving forward, that gives us something, to do to continue discussions.
Melissa, this is Eric. Let me ask you just a quick question. It's my understanding that just in the recent period of time, maybe days, that at least from what I heard on the news, the stay of that nature related to contractors and so forth was broader than just Kentucky or something. My impression was it extended to the entire country, but I could be wrong on that.
I don't believe it was the entire country unless it's been something that has happened, overnight, because I talked to my litigator in my office late yesterday afternoon. It is not just in Kentucky. It is it's a federal jurisdiction. So it extends to Ohio and I forget the other area. I'm sorry, but it's not an entire state. It's just that particular jurisdiction, Ohio, Kentucky, Tennessee. So it's whatever that federal jurisdiction is that is covered by the Eastern District of Kentucky. I'm not familiar enough with what that is, but it does span three different states. So that might be what you were hearing.
Could be.
To add some context to the decision is, we are not required at this time to sign the modification. But if we don't, then they have the right to not extend the agreement. Now, to understand, I put this in here, but to understand that we're currently in a 5-year extension. So we have a while before that extension could be executed. The problem is they have a 60-day out on this lease at this point in the lease. So they could terminate at any time.
But that 60-day out is more broadly scoped than this issue. That's their overarching opportunity, correct?
Yeah, and without cause, they can terminate the lease, and they could. The concern is that if GSA is directed to get more heavy-handed, they would have the ability to terminate the lease with a 60-day notice and go somewhere else.
What do you think they're going to do that? Drive over here in Tallahassee?
I wouldn't count on that.
You would not count on that?
No, I wouldn't.
Okay. The second question I would ask is, what would the ramifications be if we just table this for 60 days and look at it at the next board meeting?
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's the potential ramification is if they decide to get heavy-handed, they could terminate the lease.
Yeah.
But a consideration of that also is they have a lot of infrastructure in that building, and they've even looked at this before, that the cost of relocating that facility is substantial. but I asked the question of council and was advised that there may in fact be additional funds for them as part of this, some federal funds to relocate if necessary where they want to try to implement this and they're not getting cooperation.
Can we comply with that?
Can we comply with the order? In our own operation, it's not a big challenge. I mean, we're all already vaccinated. It's not an issue. You know, some of the masking may be required, you know, for example, in these meetings. But it's the subcontractors that are a big challenge.
Well, that's what I mean. If we sign the thing, could we have any chance of complying?
I asked Talcor that question, and they indicated that they can get their, they can amend our contracts to require that. Janitorial, I don't think is a problem. I think HVAC is probably not a problem. I think it's the casual contractors that we engage that could be a problem. And that could limit our ability to actually provide services or you know, get services for, and not only that, but for competitive bidding of HVAC replacements, for example. So it's definitely complicated.
Kristen.
Do we have the language? Do we have their proposed language, or is it just we're going to?
It's in your packet, and it's okay. Basically all it is implementing an FAR, a federal administrative rule, and it all ties back to that executive order. And there's a link in your packet that ties you back to the more specifics. But it's really these three things.
I understand that, and this is much more for Alyssa. I'm not going to belabor it, but if we execute something and have the ability to say, to the extent required by law, and then these future cases make something different, we've got an out, I think. So I wouldn't be as concerned about that. And
I don't know, Melissa, do you get the sense there's any ability for us to modify the language in that amendment?
I don't think so, not currently.
Meaning you just sign a piece of paper they give you.
Yeah.
Correct. But again, I mean, my recommendation today would be the last ditch effort would be to sign the document as it is. I would think your first step would be to go back and say to GSA, you know, this signing this is going to put us at odds with Florida law. And we, you know, we are an organization organized under the state of Florida. How can we do that? And at least open the door for that discussion. And if you don't get anywhere with that discussion, you can always let your fallback be either have this board today authorize Ron to go ahead and sign the amendment if you have to do it before the next board meeting, or authorize the executive committee to make that decision between now and the next board meeting, or wait the 60 days, you know, if the decision has to be made before then. But I wouldn't just fold up and go home and sign the amendment today. I would at least try to have that discussion, because you've at least, you know, since your last discussion with them, Ron, we've at least got the, you know, the law having changed in Florida to be able to rely on that as your argument.
So one more quick question. Do we have to get subs to execute something then, or can we just tell them to do it?
They would have to execute amendments to their contracts.
Okay.
And my understanding is we're not obligated to ensure their compliance, mm-hmm. Or do any sort of follow-up and reporting, but we do have to amend any agreements that we might have. I don't know how we handle the casual
yard guy.
Yeah. Well, no, those we have contracts for, but the yard guy, I don't think we have to worry about it.
That's true.
The janitorial, we have a contract. HVAC, preventative maintenance, we have a contract. Those are the two primary ones. Anything else that happens in there is casual, and we don't have contracts for that.
I have a question on the manner which what would happen if they would choose to exercise their 60-day out. Should they do that, what is their obligation in terms of putting the space back in its original condition, or they just up and leave and everything stays put? Do we have options to tell them what we want them to do? How does that work?
I don't recall the specific language, but I think it's typically that it just has to be left in good repair. I don't think they have to put it back to its original condition.
I believe it was Kristen and then Ray.
Actually, Mr. Both of my questions have already come up. I was wondering if we could approve the exec committee or the chair to execute this if we need to, after a conversation is had. I think at least acknowledging we've had that conversation might be a good middle ground, because we are on state property. We have a governing authority. Leon County, I mean, at the moment the special session was over, we had to go back and change all of our policies. I mean, a lot of us are in this gray area. So I would support that. You may pause on the second one, or
I'll respond to that. My personal opinion, certainly this could be something that was handed over to the executive committee. I personally am opposed to signing something that is in conflict with Florida law while it's still being understood. So I'm not going to make the decision to sign it without a broader consensus. That's where my head's at.
Wouldn't Dave suggest doing it till the next meeting be the easiest thing to do?
I'm sorry, was that a...
I propose to table it to the next meeting with giving the executive committee the right to move rapidly if they have to.
Is that a motion?
That's a motion.
Can I amend that motion, or with Melissa starting that dialogue with the group? I mean, I think we should not just go cold. I think we could start the discussion of, with this against Florida law, where, and I don't know.
This is very hard for us.
Yes.
This would be very difficult for us to do. We want to cooperate.
Right.
All right, so there's a motion to table for to the next meeting, 60 days, I guess, and for Melissa to begin.
Move forward.
Okay, Melissa to begin discussions with the executive committee, having the authority to sign something if we need to in the interim. That's a motion.
Just one more for friendly.
One second. Is there a second?
Oh. I'll second this to
move
the conversation.
Melissa, I am sure that you thought about this, so we don't want to sign something and bind ourselves to it if it then later is stricken and still be in the position of having a contractual obligation to do these things. Is there anything we need to do about that or can do?
I don't think there's anything you can do. I mean, that's a good point, which is this is coming up for us not because of federal law, but because of contractual reasons. So we're exempt from the federal law because the contract already exists. So the federal law only applies to people for new contracts going forward. This is coming to us because the GSA is coming to us with an amendment and saying, we want you to agree to this and that. So that's how it's coming to us.
Right, so it's an attempt basically to bind us by contract.
Exactly.
I may not be able to bind us with
that's right.
law.
Using the extensions.
And using the extensions.
That's right. And that with the threat of the 60-day out that they already had under our existing contract.
And I mean, I just don't like that for so many reasons. I'm good with the protocol.
Yeah.
And it
don't get me wrong.
A bargaining chip. You know, in everything else that happens, to say, oh, you're not doing this, you broke your contract.
And it's just unknown to us how serious they are about it and what resources they have at their end to, you know, to compensate them or reimburse them for any expense they incur to you know, to have to move out.
This is not a national part of this issue. It's a GSA and executive.
It's a national issue.
Yes. Listen, they have answered this, but your examples, Ron, were front service employees, service contracts. Does this apply to future contracts, particularly, let's say, in competition for a new facility construction contract?
that has not been brought up.
So I'm sorry, I had a bit of a hard time hearing because there's something else beeping at the same time. Was the question for future contracts related to this tenant or for related just
North Florida Innovation Labs construction contracts?
Oh, I see.
So we have a motion to table for 60 days for Melissa to begin to investigate and for the exec board to be able to move if necessary. It's been moved and seconded. Is there any further discussion?
I think that's a conversation. Certainly relates to how I'll vote on this. So I'm going to continue that conversation.
I have a question, comment. To fully understand this, if they're using or would want to use the 60-day period as leverage, what would be the consequence to LCRDA if we told them or essentially ignored this, essentially telling them, if you want to walk, go ahead and walk?
200 and something, about
76.
25% of our revenue budget?
Yeah.
It's a big number.
Okay.
Just quickly, I mean, we're not going to be the only ones in this predicament, but we are in a unique predicament. We're in Florida, we're in the capital city. It is the Southeast Regional Office. I mean, I'm to your point earlier of whether or not this would be something they would really look at, it feels like this would be something they would take an interest in. So again, I mean, I'm hearing Melissa's answers and the discussion here that we can't change the document or anything like that. But if we had to sign it, it seems like some statement in our own records that we understand, you know, that we're caught in between these two federal and state issues, and it's not going to be resolved within 60 days. It's going through the courts, everything else. It's going to take a lot longer. The budget implications, I think our responsibility as board, and this is what I really wanted to come back to, is the budget. That's the big kicker for me. So I would just add that to any discussions wrong with you and Melissa or the executive committee, just to think about what statement in our records, if we do end up signing this, kind of acknowledges to the state, to the feds, that we're in a tough position, but our responsibility is to the park and to the budget.
That's a great point.
Yeah.
One other thing that might be useful, FSU is dealing with the same thing through a lot of contracts and so forth. It might be useful to find out on a more close basis what they're doing, because I've heard a lot about this so far, and it seems to be changing within FSU. I could be wrong, but if we kind of understood where they were coming from, the approach they were taking, it might make it easier for LCRDA.
I'd like to ask that Eric, that you and Ron stay in communication on that, because Eric, you're probably closer to the pulse on that than anybody.
Sure. I think this is rapidly evolving, and it seems as though this is going to be heavily litigated, if not already in the courts, in terms of trying to get it stopped more broadly than just what Melissa had indicated. And so a week from now, it could be a completely different story.
And I'm fine with leading where we need to lead, but following where it's appropriate to follow. My opinion is that this is an area where we need to pay attention and potentially follow others with best practice. Ray, did you have?
Well, I was just going to say, and Eric touched on it by saying that FSU's went through the same question about grants and contracts, that the next step will be EDA coming in and saying these are federal funds, and we're going to have the same expectation. So I don't think this is a one-off with GSA. I think you're going to start seeing this potentially.
Yeah, and I've not been notified by them of any of that, but yes, in any federal contractor, technically, I think
that's why I think it's appropriate to.
But we
keep FSU involved
in terms of our. I agree. As well. I agree.
I'm trying to say to Ray's point. I mean, because we're funded by the Small Business Development Center, it's funded by SBA. They have already issued basically the same thing for all of the Small Business Development Centers in the network. Same exact language. So I don't think this is a one-off. I think it's going to be a broad brush across the federal agencies. I don't see it happening any other way.
Okay.
If I may, I was just going to add to a similar comment. We've been working with ARBC on a federal grant. We expect to hear next week, and we will be a party. We'll have an opportunity to be a sub at that point, and we'll need to execute that relatively quickly because of the phase two application and the deliverable on phase one. And we would need some kind of guidance from the ARPC and this body in terms of how to respond at that point, because they'll have to pipe the money pretty quickly.
I like the idea. I don't think there's any getting around this. You know, I think this is what's going to happen, and it's going to happen to everybody. The form in which it's going to happen is, you know, maybe subject to some, who knows about that. I like the idea of letting it play out as long as possible, because I think there are others leading the band much bigger than us, trying to keep up with that. I also like the idea of a fairly direct cover letter, attachment, whatever you want to call it. It says, we are executing this because we have to. I put in a little more than that, but you know, basically, this is the situation we find ourselves in. And while we will attempt to comply with all aspects of the executive order, whatever, so that we've kind of put a marker down. So if we have to start walking back, we haven't just signed it.
And that's probably a letter that, Ron, that you and Melissa can begin thinking through what the language is, so that we're not doing that at the last minute.
Yeah. The Army was called those letters CYA letters.
Melissa, do you think we'd buy ourselves time with you corresponding, or do you think that just agitates, or?
Ron and I can talk about it offline, because I'm not sure when the last time is he had communication with someone. I would probably defer to Ron about if we initiate or if we wait for them to reach out and ask us. I would hate to be quiet and then have the next communication be the 60-day notice. So maybe the right thing is just, you know, to send some sort of innocuous email that just says, we're looking at this, and you know, our lawyer would like to get in touch with your lawyer. Who is that? And just, you know, take our time being in touch. From
not
there.
Any conversation with them on this. I get a daily email from them that's automatically created by the Adobe document sign, reminding me every day for the last 45 days to sign that contract.
So we're already, okay, so that's significant.
I think it's, yeah, I said 45, but it's been
something, yeah. I wondered, because I thought this went into effect in October. So.
Well, technically they wanted it done by, I think it was November 14th or something like that. And, but we didn't have, they said deadline, but they really meant this is what we'd like, because there is no deadline.
It was that time frame. Ron and I spoke in advance of that. I certainly didn't feel comfortable without this group having the opportunity to weigh in, given the size of the impact on our budget. So we do have a motion to table this for 60 days. Is there further discussion?
Last comment, just based on what Melissa said, making sure that we will be in communication, because I'm sure GSA is hearing this from others. I mean, I think the conversation about FSU, SBDC is good,
yeah.
But I would think this may have to go to the executive committee, so I appreciate that addition to the motion.
And those were the 3 points of the motion were table for 60 days for Melissa to begin to investigate and to empower the executive committee to act if necessary.
Could I add something to that? Along with the notion of empowering the executive committee to act if need be, would it be possible to inform the rest of the board, not on the executive committee, that action is impending, that will be required soon? Just to kind of keep people in the loop on that.
Is that an amendment to the motion?
Yeah, sort of a friendly amendment to inform the board as a whole that this will be decided by the executive board.
And I believe, Dave, you made the, okay, Dave. Okay, so the motion now includes that the executive board or that Ron would keep everybody apprised as to the status. Is that correct?
Yes.
Prior to a decision. Okay. Further discussion? Ready for the vote? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Appreciate everybody's attention on that.
Could I ask a general question? Of, this is about the EDA grant. As I understand it, it's a grant, and this applies to contracts. So is it possible that the EDA, essentially the construction of the incubator, is unrelated to this executive order?
There is an award agreement. So there, it is a contract, but they've got so much latitude in that contract to do what they want. I think they can pretty much do what they want.
Okay.
All right.
Could they require it?
Yes, certainly. Yeah. Even though it's a contract, I think they've got enough stick that they could require it.
And will we have 60 days if they require it?
That's a whole different.
Okay. All right. I'm sorry.
All right, moving on to item 12, the treasurer's report. Treasurer Ramsey, to include also item 7A from consent, which was the monthly financial reports.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Board will remember that as we went into our strategic planning session, we identified two items as the number one priority. We labeled them 1A and 1B. 1A was the completion of the lab and have it operating on schedule, making sure that took place. 1B was to make sure the financials were in place to also continue our operation as we should, fund the lab and continue the normal day-to-day operations. As that thought is in place, and your treasurer, I will inform you a little more frequently of where we are financially. The first thing I'll talk about is the year-end 2021 report and give you an update on it. You all have received in your packet detailed financials, but let me just summarize and highlight what happened. First of all, we budgeted in somewhere in late 20 or late 19, I guess, for an actual $575,000 loss last year. That was kind of hard to swallow, but that was the budget. In fact, we came in with $122,000 profit, about a $700,000 swing favorable. I'll break that down kind of how that happened. On the revenue, the big pictures were that we budgeted $984,000 of revenue. We actually came in with $1,431,000. That's a favorable variance of $447,000. I'm throwing out a lot of numbers, but just kind of giving you kind of, we did very good on revenue. Now, what were the components of that? The biggest pieces were some grant income that came in that we didn't know in 2019 would actually be there. Some $395,000 of that toward our project. The rent income was up by some $63,000, and most of that was the Capital Regional lease. The career source capital regional lease, and some one-time restitution receipts that we had of some $77,000. Those are the big pieces that contributed to that favorable revenue on the budget side. On the expense side, we budgeted for $1,283,000 of expenses. We only had $1,033,000. And the favorable piece of that was a $250,000 swing. The biggest pieces of that were payroll was down some $22,800 because of some vacancies. Our repairs and maintenance was $154,000 below what we budgeted. The big pieces of that was that we delayed or deferred the elevator refurbishment of $72,000. We also deferred the parking lot resurfacing of some $89,000, which when we looked at the bids coming in, they were pretty much twice what we thought they'd be. So that was put on the hold block, and some administrations, some $75,000 in various administrations. Part of that was we deferred the tech grant to the future year by moving the date of the tech grant from that period to this year. So those are the big pieces there. So all in all, we ended up sort of by luck, maybe, sort of by whatever hard work, I put it both ways, of having a very favorable year. Our cash is in good position. We have no leases that are 30 days or beyond in the arrears. All in all is good, and I submit to you the report for the 2021 budget year ending September 30, 2021. Are there any questions? And if so, I would suggest you review the detail or ask, and Ron and I'll try to answer. But a really good year by coincidence, what we thought was going to be a little bad year. Okay.
Great report.
Now, I will not comment on the October one. We're only 30 days into it, other than to say it all looked very good, a good start for the year. I'm pleased with where we are. Next board meeting, we'll have a little more into this year, and I'll give a little more detail on it. Mr. Chair, the treasurer motions that we accept the report for the year end and for the period ending October 31.
So there's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? Great job to the administration as well. You guys, in what was going to be a difficult year, you pulled the ox out of the ditch. There's been a motion made. It's been properly seconded to accept the treasurer's report. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Passes. Item number 13. FSU Research Foundation loan for North Florida Innovation Labs. Ron.
Share this screen. So I was approached, I think through Eric Holmes, about the possibility of securing a loan from the FSU Research Foundation to help cover the gap that we have in the cost estimate versus our funding for the North Florida Innovation Labs. And so I've had conversation with Dr. Fulkerson and Heather Kay, both with the Research Foundation, in terms of how to approach this. This is a basic proposal framework. We haven't gotten into the weeds yet. They want me to make a pitch to the investment committee of the Research Foundation next Wednesday to consider this. What we are proposing is a loan amount that is up to $3 million. You know, basically whatever the amount is in excess of our available funding for the actual costs, that it would be drawn as the last dollars in. And the interest rate that they're proposing is based on the federal borrowing rate that they use to loan money to other FSU entities. Currently that's at 3.25%.
That's a floating rate though?
We would probably negotiate a fixed rate. That would be the intent, but that's, you know, if it changes between now and the time that we do the deal, it would be most likely whatever the rate was at that time. But again, we haven't gotten into those details yet. I'm proposing that we do an interest-only payment for 24 to 36 months after occupancy of the facility to give us time to, you know, to ramp up. And then I would propose a 10 to 15 year amortization. And again, these ranges are based on negotiation, but just trying to establish some parameters here, but a longer term amortization following that interest only period. And then the biggest challenges we have are security interest. Most of that is dictated by Florida statute and the EDA. We'll have to subordinate whatever security interest to the EDA. And then also we're limited in terms of what we can't use the general assets of the authority to secure the debt. It would have to be based on the revenue. And I believe the structure itself, again, subordinated to the EDA. Those are details we still would have to work out.
And then the last but not least is that FSU would be looking for some sort of preference for FSU-related technologies to be commercialized. This has been my understanding, and Eric, you can chime in here at any point. But my understanding is that this is a something that the President McCullough feels very strongly about and is something that he would like to see to make sure that the Northwood Innovation Labs happen and that there's a place for FSU entities to go. Little challenge here, but I'm going to stop the share on that so I can get you all back up on the screen. There he is.
Ron, can I ask, those preferences, that list of preferences, is that something that you developed or is that something that was provided to you from FSU?
So we had a very basic conversation about those preferences, but Heather Cave is the one who suggested the right of first refusal. And I had the comments about trying to put some parameters and limitations on what that right of first refusal might be. You know, the practical part of this is that we certainly expect a large amount of the occupancy to be based on FSU technology. But I think they just want to make sure that they have the ability to secure space in there if they're going to provide this substantial amount of funding. I think that's all they're looking for. We'd have to get into the weeds on what that exactly would look like. I don't see it as a problem, but at the end of the day, what we would do is we would negotiate some terms that we could all think that we could live with and bring that back to both boards for final approval. But if you have any ideas on other preferences or ways to structure preferences, I'd love to hear it.
Well, okay. So a couple of things. I was certainly party to some general discussions about what this might look like before you were contacted. And relative to the president's position, so far as I know, he believes that more can and should be done relative to startup companies coming out of FSU than have existed in the past. It's a learning curve for him. And I think one of the things he's learning is that a major reason for that is lack of suitable space in order to house these companies. So obviously the incubator is something that is essential for that. And I would expect would be near and dear to his heart in order to accomplish what he wants to do. So having said that, the list of priority or preferences certainly makes sense. One thing you might think about is if you could make some of those a little bit more solid, you might even be able to get better terms or perhaps even get some of that relative to kind of a grant as opposed to a loan. I just throw that out as a possibility. Talking a bit out of school, I have no authority on any of this stuff, but I think that the more that you would be able to concede, the less it's going to cost, essentially. So it might be something to think about, something to offer, you know, anything along the round, even suggesting perhaps to them some naming rights in some ways in order to give them an opportunity to have this cost less authority. Again, I think this is motivated by the fact that this is in play. This is going to happen and is right in the sweet spot of what FSU wants and needs.
Mr. Chair, I really like what he's saying. I think he's right on. Governor Bayh, the mayor, and I, and perhaps others in the room, were at a meeting yesterday at which the president spoke on his beliefs and expectations for economic development and so on and growth. Ray, correct me if I quote this wrong, but I believe he said at the time he started work at Harvard, there were two companies that were coming out of the programs there. Yeah. And when he left, there were 50. on that same year. And he was of the opinion that we could get FSU to create 50 companies a year. That can't be done without us. So I would have to say that FSU is going to be a strong partner in everything we contribute or everything we end up doing. And however we make this work, I'm pleased that they're reaching out to us. I'm also believe that we can continue to structure this a little bit more to our favor. But boy, if we get half of 50 companies a year coming out of the programs, that would just be incredible.
Let me ask you a question. The time frame, Ron, when do we need to have an answer?
So we need to have a basic framework to present to the EDA, I believe, when we are prepared to release the bid. So next week, we'll be submitting the 100% construction documents and a proposed contract to the EDA next week. They'll have about 30 days to review it. I think by the end of that review, we should at least have a pretty good idea of what that framework's going to look like. I will have had to have some conversations with them about it to make sure we're on the right track. Because they're going to get a cost projection with the submission. That's when they're going to go, okay, what are you doing about this gap? And so I want to be able to tell them this is what we believe will happen, and we'll have at least an agreement in principle by the time we release that. Which is January the 10th, I think, is when we advertise, or 11th. And we will, my understanding talking to Heather is that their board can approve it quickly because they can do it via email. If we do it, then we'll have to have a special meeting or have the executive committee approve to take the steps if necessary.
But this would require the approval of our board and their board.
Yes.
And Eric, I'm going to put you on the spot. What would be required? What type of time frame would be required in order to have this approval? Which, if I understand correctly, Ron, it needs to be. You need the answer prior to January 10th.
I believe so. I haven't had a conversation with EDA yet about what they're going to need, but I will certainly find out very soon once we submit this other document.
From the FSERP standpoint, particularly with the backing of the president, who's also on the FSERP board, they are solidly behind us. And in fact, I don't think this is talking too much out of school. When the information was provided to them, and them basically means upper administration, VPs and up, that LCRDA had this hole they needed to fill. The notion of getting a loan from FSERF came from them, not a request. This is essentially an offer. FSERF has done things like this many times in the past, certainly the recent past, and it's not outside of the realm of reason, which is something they would do. And in fact, because it relates to, indirectly, because this would support independent companies, it's something that they would like to do. It's a good use. They perceive it as a good use of their money, things of that nature. Now, so I think it's going to happen very quickly. It would take longer to negotiate the terms, I think, and get everything in writing and reviewed and so forth than anything else. But they're ready. It's my understanding they're ready to do this at any point in time. And if there was a deadline, I'm sure they would be working diligently to accommodate it. I return to the notion that it might be somewhere in here, and I would keep this relatively kind of limited in terms of who you talk to, just in terms of asking if there's any possibility that some of that money could be used, come in the form of a grant. Now, of course, they're not going to give anything away for nothing. They're going to need to have something tangible in order to justify that. If there's nothing that you see that could be offered that would be real tangible, that I wouldn't bring the conversation up. But if you have something that is some flexibility and something you're willing to offer that would be that would solve more solidly FSU's need and interest in getting space for these companies, then now would be a good time to bring that up.
Great, thank you. Keith, you're recognized.
Yeah, I just had a question. What was the projected monthly cash flow of the commission?
Well, that's going to be the question. In terms of ability to repay, my intent would not be to ever get to that long-term payment plan. Our intent is to go find the money subsequent to this. This buys us time. We don't want any debt, long-term debt associated with this, with the facility. It's just because it's, as we know already, it's not going to be carried by rent payments or membership fees. It's going to be other funds that we have to go out and raise. So we just can't have that debt service. So we need to go out and get that additional money. For example, we have a legislative appropriation request in that Bill's going to tell you more about, but we've got someone carrying that for $4 million. Is that right?
3.9.
3.9. So to include some equipment. So that would be the intent. And so the challenge I have, and I've had this conversation with Heather, is she's going to have to do some due diligence, and we'll have to see what they're willing to live with in terms of what the forecast looks like. But again, it's just a forecast at this point. It's all going to come down to how good Bill is at going out and raising money, honestly.
Well, and driving occupancy.
That too. It's a mix. As we heard from Tuff, it's a mix of revenue sources they have to go after.
You are recognized.
Well, I'm just going to clarify a little point that Dave made. The president, I'm sure, doesn't want to overpromise anything, although he was certainly very optimistic yesterday. But one of the things he did say was when he started, he had to a year at Harvard, and it got up to 6 or 8 a year. And 50 was a cumulative number for some number of years, not annual.
Thank you for clarifying that.
Or either for Cambridge or for Pittsburgh. So, and certainly for Tallahassee. So anyway, I think he was clearly, as Eric suggests, very much engaged in this and very interested in coming to Inflation Park at some point, as they talked to him about. But I just wanted to clarify that number. Going back to Eric's comment, I think that his assessment of the Research Foundation, although I've been away from it for a long time, is that exactly that. They would see this, particularly in light of the president's enthusiasm about this area, see this as very much a role for the FSU Research Foundation to play. As opposed to a grant, Eric, what would you think about asking for a 15-year interest-free loan? And then at some point, if a grant opportunity comes to pass, or the remaining amount as a possibility for the entire principal, that might be the time to do that, rather than trying to push it too early.
Yeah, I think that money is money. It doesn't really matter whether it's cash or savings to the foundation or to the authority. So even having a no interest loan for a period of time is certainly be a negotiating point. And I have to tell you, and maybe this is, you're disclosing too much on the side of the entity you're negotiating with. They want to see this happen, and so they understand that there's issues and kind of cliffs that you need to avoid going over, and that's really motivates them relative to providing the notion that this is something they would be willing to do. Now, again, having said that, whether it's a no interest sort of thing for a period of time or forgiving part of the principal or however that would work as time went. Out of fairness, I believe they're going to be expecting to get something additional in return. And whether that's some, I don't know what kind of commitments you're able to give within that facility, but that would be a good carrot in order to offer to be able to get that ability and ultimately in total a reduction in out-of-pocket costs.
Great. So, Kristen, you're next.
Well, first, very much appreciate FSU making this offer and the work that's already been done. It is in their interest. I mean, our last board meeting, we talked about, and Eric, you shared some of this, that, you know, the space needs are top priority. I've heard the same from president and others. I understand they're motivated for this. They could not fund and construct space earlier than we're going to open North Florida Innovation Labs. And just clarifying something that's been my feeling or my sense for a long time, FSU, startups from FSU need a space that is not within the university campus. I mean, interdisciplinary research is not going to accommodate these types of startups. They need to be able to move to some other space, correct? Outside of the campus, okay. So the preference piece, that's really what I guess I wanna understand a little bit more. Obviously, I think, as maybe Ron, you said, I mean, we assume a lot of the members will be coming from FSU. And certainly if there's more energy within FSU to help entrepreneurs, you know, and startups, that's going to be a nice, it's nice timing. I'm just gonna leave it there. But at some point, I don't know if we want to be bound by a preference. I'm just wondering how strict. I mean, I understand what you're saying, Eric, and I think it's a good thing to consider, you know, making those terms more solid in order to guarantee that. But if we look out 5-10 years and we've already repaid the loan, do we still have that preference? I assume it might go away once the terms of the loan are met. And does that free us up to have more flexibility if 1 year we see more folks coming from FAMU or outside either university? I mean, am I on the right track here? Is this tied to the terms of the loan? So is that what you're anticipating?
Let me ask you a question before you answer that. Keeping our eyes on the finish line. The finish line right now is January 10th. We need some statement. Is a letter of interest on behalf of FSU Research Foundation to be able to provide the line of credit, the gap financing, sufficient to accomplish what you need by January 10th? Because I think the details, Kristen, of what you're describing, they certainly need to be worked out. I just don't know that we need to do that in advance of January 10th.
I think a term sheet would be would be appropriate.
A signed term sheet.
A signed term sheet, which means, you know, there'll be more language to work out.
But ADA wants a guarantee, right? I mean, more solid guarantee that we're going to have this money.
Yes. Yeah. I think that the real drop dead date, I think, is before we award the construction contract. Mm-hmm. That's when I think they're going to want to make sure. I just want to keep them confident that the funding's going to be there once they see the cost estimate.
So could the term sheet be more sterile and have terms not to exceed? And then we have the ability always to have the more detailed conversations about what are some opportunities, whether they're naming opportunities or Eric, as you point out, something that's more tangible. I think there's an immediacy to having something in place by January 10, and I don't know that we're gonna know how to refine the
bank term sheet, which outlines a very skeletal, this is the deal. It could get better. Sometimes it got worse too, but
it's not binding, right?
So, I think you're on page though, because if we don't do that, I mean, we're about to hit the holidays, guys.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, it's, we gotta.
Yeah, basically, we have 2 weeks. We have two and a half weeks to get it figured out. But here's what all I'm asking for from the board at this point is I'm asking for approval to move forward with the negotiation with FSU Research Foundation for a loan up to $3 million with the terms to be negotiated with the FSU Research Foundation.
All right, so that's staff recommendation. Is there a motion?
Can I come back?
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
The motion is second. Discussion.
Okay, I still want to go back to my question. Do you anticipate, I mean, typically whatever those terms are attached to the loan. Once it's repaid, you assume that we're not bound by the terms, or
that would be a term that we would put in the in the loan that would say these preferences last this long, or at the, you know, whenever the funding is, that's to be negotiated.
That's to be negotiated. Okay, I wanted to come back to that because, in addition to, I mean, naming rights, and I'm going to leave this for the negotiation, but that is a pretty powerful incentive for private sector donations. So we want to be careful. FSU has an interest in the space, preference, if that's their dominant, you know, interest. I'm using my words, you know, repeatedly here, but if that's what they're most focused on, then I don't know if we want to give up naming rights if that could get us private sector sponsorships in the future, or, you know, donations in the future. That's first. And if the preference were to, I mean, this is going to be tricky in the negotiation because the terms are going to be much longer than we anticipate, you know, repaying much earlier on this loan than the terms are going to dictate. But if the preference could go for a certain time period that is a few years beyond where we anticipate repayments, maybe that is another, you know, guarantee we make the preference a little more solid. I just still, I wouldn't mind a comment, Ron, you or Bill, on what your feeling is about that preference. And I don't anticipate there's any concerns, but if there should be a ceiling, if we should be concerned about that at all.
One of my concerns is making sure that the preference does not exclude other people.
Yeah.
And the EDA is not going to allow us to have a preference that says FSU can occupy the entire building.
Yeah.
Okay. It won't allow it. There has to be the ability for the general public to get benefit of this facility. So that's where we have to be careful about how we structure the preference. So one way to do that might be, for example, to say X number of labs or so much space is available on a right of first refusal basis to the university, so that if somebody came in and they've got some, and they know they've got something on the horizon and they want to go ahead and occupy the space or pay for the space for a period of time, they have the right to do that. But that would only become a problem as the facility gets full or fuller. Or limit certain, you know, types of labs, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I've got another comment, and I think it's a way to utilize existing resource as well as new resource to meet the needs of the FSU Research Foundation. And that is, and I happen to be deep into SBIR, SDTR training. In order to apply for federal SBIR grants, you need an office with a locking door. So I think we could leverage our existing space and our expansion into Collins and make a commitment that becomes part of the resources that we make available and adds, it puts less pressure on our existing inventory. The Research Foundation is keenly interested in commercializing research for which they get royalties. And these SBIR, SDTR grants can be a fantastic vehicle. The president knows it because it's quite transparent. Our universities have a huge upside in terms of the amount of federal funding we could and should get through these programs. So that may be an asset we can put on the table immediately that creates value for them immediately, and then it becomes a win-win as we take a look at some of these preferences for FSU.
Preferences, if I could ask. Ron, how far have you taken the whole concept of preferences with them? What I'm suggesting is, in your document that you showed, just deleting the whole section on preferences and letting it develop based on negotiations. Further, it sounds like, and I agree with this, that fewer strings and ideally no strings on this building is what you really want. And if you're not able to provide any kinds of concessions or anything like that, I wouldn't go down that rabbit hole until after this whole thing were signed and you knew a little bit more. You could always ask them to convert part of the loan into a grant and move on from there. So complicating things now is probably unnecessary. If all you need is a term sheet, you ought to be able to get, again, they want to do this. You ought to be able to get a term sheet without any listed preferences, and you can negotiate that later to the extent you really feel you need to do something or they require it.
I think, Eric, your comments are completely spot on. And I think that's what staff recommendation is, correct?
Yes.
For you to have the ability to go ahead and negotiate some basic terms, and then that would be then brought back to executive?
Yes.
Okay. Any other I'm sorry, Kristen.
I think, and Eric, you were getting to perhaps where my mind was. I just want to come back to the grant loan piece. We don't know how this is going to look in the future. I mean, we've got a really amazing opportunity with President McCullough and new energy in the space coming from FSU. I will say stepped up energy. There's been a lot of energy for years, but stepping that up. So as we develop this, particularly, I mean, your point about SBIR and SCTR, you know, stands out. We may be able to accommodate some of those space needs more quickly and more efficiently than they could do themselves. And this, you know, just continues in future years. So I like where you were going, that leaving, you know, something for a later negotiation, converting a loan into a grant to work on other issues as the building moves forward. I think we're going to have more room to dig into those issues, just getting the basics now. I just wanted to make sure the preference was, you know, in the right position. That's all.
Yeah. And relative to preferences, maybe I wasn't completely clear. I'm suggesting we allow them to define any preferences they want and assume from our standpoint here that it's just a typical loan. We're going to get some money. We're going to pay interest and so forth under the request that Ron has. We don't have to offer anything right now. Let them or make them make those requests. And it's and the fewer of those right now, the lot cleaner it's going to be as we move forward. And ultimately, of course, you'll get into that once you know a little bit more what your flexibility is.
We obviously have a motivated partner in this. So I think that we're well positioned to negotiate good terms in good faith. This seems like a friendly opportunity. And I think that what I'd like to suggest is that we allow Ron and team to do take the next step and have those conversations and see where this lands.
Yeah, I wanted to answer something Eric just mentioned though. In talking about the preferences, the only preference that's been brought up was the right of first refusal. And they brought it up. So I have not offered any other preferences. I haven't said whether or not we would do that, but they brought that up. So the rest is just my attempt to sort of say, we need to limit it somehow, but we have not gotten into any of it. And let me also say, if anyone has any thoughts after the meeting, since I'll have to negotiate, if you want to have a conversation with me on things I might want to consider, I'm happy to have conversations. I can do that.
I'm going to recognize Dave and then Ann called the question. So.
All right, real quick, I would say that right of first refusal could be capped at 75% capacity. They'd get the first, and we would reserve 25% for whatever other uses, maybe some of them, but maybe the public, maybe FAMU, maybe TCC, whatever. So cap it somehow. The second thing I would say is maybe instead of a letter of interest, we cover that term sheet with a letter of intent instead of interest.
So the question was called.
We'd have to vote on that. So if we're wrapping up anyhow, I just parliamentary. Yeah.
Okay, so the motion was to allow Ron and team to continue conversations with Research Foundation to generate term sheet. Anything else that needs to be identified in that? Okay, it's been motioned, it's been seconded. Everyone in favor?
Aye.
Anybody opposed? It passes, okay.
Can I make one more comment relative to what Dave just said? He said 75-25. I flip-flopped that. I'd give them a term first refusal up to 25%, leaving 75% open. That would be much more reasonable and offer a lot more flexibility.
I would suggest that you not put anything in there about a cap. If this is going to EDA, they're not going to be pretty interested in whether you're discouraging people from doing certain things. So we would not put anything in that letter going to EDA.
We've given Ron the ability to enter into these conversations. And as was mentioned, we have a favorable partner here, a friendly partner here. Next item is the numbers 14, 15, and 16 are really going to tie together. I don't want to spend a tremendous amount of time on 13, certainly not. I'm sorry, on number 14, certainly not as much time as we spent last time. But I did leave the board with a homework assignment. In light of our conversation about as we are forward looking, what I've asked for is for everybody to be thinking about a transformational idea, a barrier to remove, and a relationship to build. I don't know who may have been able to reach back out, Ron. Are there some comments and ideas that the board would like to bring forward?
Sure.
Dave.
We carry the title Leon County Research and Development Authority. I've brought this up sometimes in the past, but I still think it needs to be discussed. Research is obviously here. Development, maybe that's more of an industrial park. I keep wondering if there's not down the road a role for us to play if we have to modify our charter, modify our agreements with say, whatever else, but be the lead instigator in getting an industrial park. That's not something we want to rush into right now, but I'm trying to think longer down the road, 3, 5, 6 years, I don't know where. This city needs it. I've never lived in a city that didn't have one. It is the only place I've ever lived that did not provide for an industrial park. My comments complete.
Okay, thank you. Other comments?
And you want us just to submit those to Ron still, right?
Yes. These are ideas, they're overarching ideas that are ultimately going to lead, whether it's in this fiscal year or future, how we direct Ron as executive director in the vision and the mission and the goals of LCRDA and Innovation Park. Ron, you look like you were about to, okay.
Just take a deep breath.
Any?
Well, we're going to run out of space. We got to have something to do after that.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I did talk with you about this. You said bring your ideas to the meeting, so we can talk later. Others may have been in that place. But so submitting ideas to Ron, we can't discuss those ideas. I mean, he can't share any of those ideas due to sunshine until we come back into a meeting. So we sure thought for the future, we bring all these ideas back into a strategic planning discussion, not strategic planning,
Absolutely. It will be in a meeting like this when we have the opportunity to discuss people's ideas and for all the reasons that you've identified. It does not need to happen today, but we do need to be mindful. And the next thing that we're going to talk about are Ron's goals. Well, understanding goals ought to fit into what the board's vision is. As we set policy, we need to be able to give Ron and team very clear direction. I'll tell you that some of the things that I've talked about with Ron in terms of my idea of a transformational idea is this concept of attract, not manage. Okay. When we look at the work of Innovation Park, we have several assets that we manage. When we talk about North Florida Innovation Lab, we're talking about an incubator that will help us attract. That needs to be an overarching concept. And we need to seek out ideas that are going to help us attract. In terms of a barrier to remove, I mentioned this in our conversation last time. I believe that we are restricted by this idea of 208 acres, but LCRDA has countywide jurisdiction. Right, or Davis, we talk about an industrial park. Well, that doesn't happen inside of the 208 acres. It happens somewhere, and the county's a big place. How can we affect that in a way that helps us attract? And then in terms of a relationship to build, my opinion is that one of the most important relationships that we can be building right now is with the airport. I think David Pollard is doing a phenomenal job out there building the infrastructure that will help us attract. We, in mainstream news sources and public or the social media and otherwise, sometimes people say, make comments about our airport that simply are not fair. What David is doing out there is he started out with the international designation, and we are an international airport. That's step one. Step two is designing and building the international passenger processing facility. It's designed, and he's working on obtaining the funding so that this can be built. And once that is constructed, that is a necessary step before he moves to establishing the 9-county foreign trade zone. And when that is complete, our airport becomes a major catalyst for growth. Okay, well, that's a department. The airport's a department inside the city. LCRDA is sitting in the county. We have these two entities need to be developing a relationship so that we're helping the airport and the airport is helping us, because it's all going to go back to this idea of attracting. Those are the types of things that I want us to be thinking about for a long view, so that when we get to this next item, and I'm ready to move to the next item unless there's other comments about that, but the next item is a discussion about Ron's goals for 21 and 22. Kristen, you're recognized.
Okay. Mr. Chair, if you want to move on, that's fine. It sounds like you want to keep this short. It just...
I want to be mindful of the time frame, and I didn't get a sense that there had been a lot of interaction with Tom or with Ron on providing.
And I did not request it to be provided, because my understanding was we would have that discussion in this meeting.
Correct.
That's why I don't have anything there.
Let's make this a priority for the next meeting, then, to bring these ideas back. But Kristen, absolutely, if you have additional comments.
I will just add only for that future discussion. One clear, when you say attract, not manage, you're reflecting on us as what a lot of Ron's time, others, is managing the property. That's where we've been. So we're moving into a different stage of programs that would attract or recruit.
We will always have to manage property.
But more leaning towards the attraction side.
Yes.
Okay.
We're a 41-year-old innovation park.
Yeah.
We know how to manage property. As we look at our financials, we see that we have some challenges that we're going to face. Okay. As a board, I don't really think that this board needs to delve into the details of managing property. That's a responsibility that is delegated to the staff. Staff does a good job, but in order to make this a long-term viable proposition, we need to be paying more attention to the attract than we do to the manage.
And I would even go as far as to say, maybe that's not a business we need to be in. Maybe we get completely out of the landlord business. I mean, heard Eric say, you know, that FSU needs space. I mean, maybe we hinge our or attach our wagon to the innovation lab and try to do some other innovative stuff and attract business and help businesses. Another thing to me is we have no recognition, limited recognition with the business community in Leon County, period. When we talk about naming rights, we have no status in the business community in our home court, do we? And I'm just looking at both sides. I mean, there's a Kristen.
So I'm not surprising, Tom, under the transformational ideas, I actually wrote down as a barrier too. Ensure Leon County and Tallahassee understand why what we do is important for the rest of the economy, for our community, for the job creation, everything else. I mean, it's been a barrier for a long time. So again, not getting into the weeds on a lot of different things, if you want to have this conversation in the next board meeting, I would say that one of the challenges we keep coming back to, from my perspective, is many different parts of the community talk about the same goals, but we're not sitting at the same table. We had a conversation about the airport last time, and I think that is one where we keep kind of saying the same thing. Well, how are we going to unlock that and really have a deeper conversation, a more strategic conversation there? Similar with our chambers, with others. I mean, how do we knit some of these pieces together? And I think that should absolutely be part of the conversation. So I'll say some other thoughts. FAMU and FSU plans. I mean, if we say that we're running up against, you know, a lack of property, well, maybe FAMU is interested in having some businesses attracted to their property and leasing that property. I don't know. I'm not sure where y'all are at. FSU, I'm looking at you and your other hat, Mr. Chair. With other facilities and planning for Alumni Park, you know, village, old property, things like that. I mean, all of that makes a difference for what happens here within the 280 acres. So I understand that there's timing issues with all of that, of where the universities are, where others are, but bringing some of that information together and really getting a more strategic approach to that collaboration, I think we're at that time period. We're seeing it with FSU. And I think we could step that up a little bit. And this is going to be fun, but I'm just going to say that our next board meeting is February, beginning of February, is that right? So we will be just before the OEB meeting with the strategic plan coming back. Gray Swope, all of the data, all of the information that he's gathered from all the stakeholder meetings, we couldn't do that at the February meeting, but perhaps at our following meeting, I think looking at that data could be very interesting. I think we're gonna see a lot more information coming out that might inform our role within the broader economic landscape and the community. And the funding question is going to need to be discussed very bluntly and very honestly. I mean, just we may not have any other resources to do real recruitment in the next few years. We got to think about that. So wherever we are on those issues, we need to bring that into our next discussion.
So is everybody okay if we put this on the agenda in the February meeting? That's
February. Either that, Mr. Chair, if you want to call a special meeting for that specific purpose, either way. I could go either direction.
Let me work with Ron on this to find a time frame. I'd like to keep it inside of the board meeting, the generally called board meeting, as an agenda item and possibly as an agenda item that it repeats itself for the next few board meetings so that we're progressive in our thoughts on this. Everybody all right with that? Okay, I don't know that there's an action item on that. So if we can, let's just move to the next item.
I would suggest that for the next meeting, so that we have things to talk about and react to, that you can go ahead and send me your thoughts and the answers to those three questions. And I can put that information together with the agenda item so that you have something to react to.
That would be fantastic. And if you would reach out and coordinate with everybody. All right.
Mr. Chairman, John Daly, I'm sorry. It's 12:30 and I have a hard stop. I'm going to need to go.
Very good. Thank you.
Melissa Van Sickle, will you please give me a call when you get a chance? Thank you.
Item number 15, Executive Director Goals. It's in your package, but Ron, would you like to walk us through what you prepared?
Yeah, this is not a real deep dive, but I'm trying to get this screen share up to you here.
Excuse me, Mr. Chair. I'm going to have to leave at quarter till.
Okay.
I don't think we have anything else we have to vote on. We're okay. I don't want to destroy our quorum.
No, I think there is nothing else, Ron, that requires a vote, is there?
That's correct.
Okay, thank you.
On that point, one of the things that Ron and I have talked about, and except for the fact that a couple of these items required further discussion, I do want to, moving forward, I would like for these meetings to exist inside of a 90-minute time frame. So we've exceeded that today, but we will do everything that we can in order to manage our agenda so that we're being respectful of everybody's time.
Would it be helpful to put on the agenda the suggested time?
I like the idea of having some benchmarks, with the exception or the acknowledgement that there are certain items that simply will go over or under, but that way when people are reviewing an agenda, if you see a topic that you think that the time frame is clearly off, that's a good opportunity then to reach back out to Ron in advance and say, express your thoughts so that we're able to manage accordingly.
So again, I've listed these within sort of the five buckets that we have used in our strategic planning in the past. And I know our last plan basically said, 1A is this one and 1B is this one. But we haven't forgotten about the other three things that we know are important to be working on. That basic strategic plan is still, in my opinion, still dead on to where we need to be going. I think we've addressed even the things that have been brought up in the previous item are captured in this in many ways. So most of this are things that I know that we're working on that we have to get done. We're already into December, so we're 2 months in. We got 10 months to go. We have a huge project in the where we're at with the Northward Innovation Labs. My role will not change or reduce once this thing goes out to bid. It's only going to continue with a lot of the EDA grant requirements and trying to comply with everything. And with the planning that Bill and I will be working on to try to make sure that this thing is heavily occupied by the time we open it. So it's not, the workload is not going to get lighter because we put out the bid. So there are many steps left to be done. We're currently working on the contract and the bid package. As I mentioned, when that's going to go out, I'm still working on confirming the additional funding. I had mentioned that we were going to do an extension. We've decided at this point to pull back on looking for an additional extension, given where we think the market's going. We think it might actually be better. That I think you heard yesterday from the Fed chair that transitory inflation is not really a thing. Well, we kind of agree. We think it's going to keep going. So it might be better to get this done earlier rather than later. So we have not requested an extension. The other fundraising that we're doing, working on the details with FSU, for example, working with staff on some of the programs and initiatives that he's working on to try to make sure we get those implemented. I have to typically put on my other hats for HR and IT and all the other things that need to support what Bill's trying to accomplish. And then we're still working on the pro forma and the business plan to try to nail that down in more detail, which we will need to be able to do. And then we have a lot of other things that have to get set up with the 501c3 so that the relationship between that these two organizations is will allow the 501c3 to meet its requirements because there's an exchange between the two of us in terms of space and staffing and all this. So I've got to get those agreements all set up, and that's not a simple process. So there's a lot of things still around the development of the incubator that have to happen over the next 24 months before the facility opens. Maybe a little bit longer than that, but so that's still 1A. And these are just a few of the things. There's a lot more that's going to go in behind that. We're also working very hard on this building next, which we have the funding coming through the Juggernaut MOU with OEV. So the board approved the budget to do the $268,000 of how to spend that money. $200,000 of that's going to go towards renovations. We've got about $150,000 in this building and about $50,000 going in the Morgan building. Our intent is to do complete, kind of like what we did here, without any walls and, you know, that kind of stuff. But carpet paint, ceiling tile, insulation in the other end, and get it looking as good as this end so we can start trying to occupy it. Bill is working on some other funding opportunities to maybe supplement that money or replace that money through some other grant opportunities that we could then shift those dollars to other projects. But we have to be moving on that. I was going to bring an RFP to you today to do that, but I saw the agenda and realized we had too much on it as it was. We were going to take a look at how we can go ahead and move and piecemeal some of that through, but I'll probably come back in February with some more on that. But we want to get that project done in the next 6 months to get both of these facilities looking much better and able to lease it, which is also going to help us address the financial piece. Without leasable space, we don't have too many other sources of revenue. We're working on a lot of grant opportunities, but those are usually dedicated towards specific programs or projects, and it's very hard to get a lot of offsets to our existing expenses, which include salaries and wages and other operating expenses. So I'll be working very hard on that with Stephanie. And we still have the elevator refurb to do, and we may or may not have the parking lot still to do. We have our other, not mentioned here, are the other general, you know, business things we have to do. Like we have to, you know, redo our HVAC contracts. I believe we also have our property management contract coming up this year. So we have all of the other recurring business, which take a lot of time to get done. I had an inquiry on the Eisenhower property and the additional land. That's the good news. Bad news is they really didn't have any connection to R&D. It was a food manufacturer. And it took a little while. Just finally got back to me on Monday to kind of nail down exactly what they were looking for. But it's an opportunity with a few hundred jobs. So I after conversation, realizing that wasn't going to work, I passed them over to OEV. And OEV, my understanding, is actually going to tour them this week through properties in Leon County. And will also keep us in mind if she learns more, if Christina learns more, she's going to let us know. But if she thinks there's any way to fit them out here, they're looking for about 10 acres. So unfortunately, our 10 acres isn't all developable, but it made me look at the Eisenhower property a little bit closer. And the reason it's on here is I think we need to look at the land that we have, both in the park and the Eisenhower property, and make sure we have it positioned for use, have the board decide how we're going to use it, you know, what's usable. What I learned from the Eisenhower property history, I had to go digging through the old attorney's files that still smell like cigar smoke. But that property has a deed restriction on it. that I was not aware of. Apparently that property came from FDOT through Leon County and part of a swap that we did a long time ago. So so it has to be used for a public purpose. That's the deed restriction. So we'll have to go figure out exactly what that's going to allow us to do, what exactly is a public purpose as it relates to our use. And then so I'll have to obviously get Melissa involved in that. But those are the things that I'm talking about is the plan for Eisenhower and the other property. What's usable? How can we use it? How should we be marketing it? Right now we have it listed on our website, but I get an inquiry and I had no idea, you know, how to sell that.
How many acres is Eisenhower again?
It is 18.
Okay. Part of it's planned out or?
No, it was part of a swap that they did and was used at one point to hold excavations from Munson's, from the Slick. Lake Munson, right. From Lake Munson, I believe.
Yeah.
But I believe it's all been taken care of, but that's a good question. There probably needs to be at least a phase one done on the property to make sure we don't have any contamination issues. So all of that site prep stuff to understand exactly what we have for sale and how to use it, we need to be planning for that if we're gonna ever do anything with it. And maybe the answer is we don't wanna do anything with it. I don't know, but we need to look at it and decide.
Can we just sell it?
But it would have that deed restriction that would go with it. So yeah, if subject to the deed restriction, yes. But it would have to probably be with another public entity that would take that public use restriction. And then on the business attraction piece, you know, we still have to fill that position. In the meantime, we have contracted with Denise Bilbo, our former director of market engagement, who is now up in at Creighton in Omaha, Nebraska. And she is working for us 5 to 10 hours a week on contract to help us maintain our social media and some newsletter and some of the other basic things to keep that operation going while we try to struggle through this employment situation. We've advertised the job for a couple of weeks and have not had one qualified applicant to date. So we think maybe after the first of the year, at least get through the holiday part. Who knows what's going to happen with the job market? That's obviously a big hole for us to fill if we're truly going to get into the marketing for the Norfolk Innovation Labs and our existing properties and open office space. And then the partnerships and collaboration. I know this has been an ongoing interest with the airport. We kind of got stalled for a while during COVID. During a period of time when David was trying to get up to speed, we've had him out here a couple times to talk to us. You know, I think it's great with Kevin on that board now. I think we have a very good connection there, but we can certainly get more actively involved with what they've got going on and at least start to consider how we might work together in the future. I think the timing's about right for that. And then the financial piece, this is something that Dave brought up in the compensation committee, was just to look at, in terms of my evaluation, is looking at some specific goals around just the financial measures rather than some of the more qualitative evaluation items that we have. And I don't know if you wanted to address any more of that.
Well, a lot of that looks to me like plans to plan, but specifically, we want to make sure we hit revenue goals, we operate below expense expectations or within them, and so on. Yes. To include that in your evaluation.
So this is just, you know, kind of where we're at right now and things we know we've got to get done in the next 10 months. Just keep moving along in the next 10 months. But those are my primary goals at this point.
Does anybody have any comments on this?
I got one real quick one. On the asphalt paving, we might be able to tag the asphalt work at North Florida Innovation Lab and get our parking lot done and save a few $1,000s. Yeah.
My comment as I have to leave is pretty much what I've been thinking for the last 3 months. We're on the verge of being overwhelmed, and I think we're doing great, but we've got our hands full with a bunch of wonderful opportunities. And I think it's maybe the first task to make sure that we've got everything we can have in place. Handle all that and keep it going. Doing without a marketing person, Ron and I had talked about that. You know, we're not offering the kind of money that it takes to get somebody now to do a job that is what we really need to have done. It's a, just a, it's an ongoing kind of thing, and we can do it, but it's we've got our hands full.
There's a lot to be said for paying attention to whether or not we're doing the right things or we're doing things right. And we need to make sure that in everything that we're primarily focused on doing the right things. As we look at all of the goals that Ron has, and as Ann just points out, we are at the point where if we're not careful, we do as a team and certainly as a staff become overwhelmed to make sure that we have the right resources in place and that we're focused on doing the right things. And then once we have identified what the right things are, we'll make sure that we're doing them right. But that order is important. Any other comments? I think all these are very admirable and necessary goals. Ron, you and your team, it's a tall hill in front of you, and we're encouraged by the momentum right now, and keep us posted and let us know what you need in order to accomplish these.
10 more staff.
Very good.
I appreciate that, though. Thank you.
Any other comments? I do not have any additional comments for chair's report, so let's move to staff reports.
So I just have a couple of items, and I'm trying to leave as much time to Bill as I can. Just a couple of highlights. One, we do now have the 501c3 status from the IRS, which is great for Northwest Innovation Labs. We're working on, I've submitted our application with the state so we can start actually doing fundraising. So we're waiting for a response on that. I mentioned the bid package. We're still waiting to hear back from the EDA on our scope revision and the additional funding. We've had some inquiries about pieces of it, but I haven't seen any final, amended award document. So I don't know where that's at. I know Melissa had submitted some information, so hopefully that will be forthcoming. I mentioned a lot of this already. I mentioned all of it. It always finds a way in there. So Bill, defer the rest of my time.
And I'm gonna fly through this and then answer any questions.
Let me share that screen real quick.
Okay.
Now we've instructed the tech grant participants on how to do this. I might be able to do it. Let's see if this, there it is. Okay.
All right.
I'll do it for you.
Okay. Obviously, we're working, we've got our heads down on design and development, moving from 50% to 100%. And so we're looking at literally everything, all the details, because it's a hard bid. We're also looking to get some kind of sense of what the alternates might be. So that we get the project done, knowing that we'll have to go out and find those funds as well. Next slide. What's interesting is in my interactions, both around the state and the country, I'm learning a lot about what the state of the present is for labs, how they're structured, how they do membership, how they do, or if they do shared equipment. And the folks around the country have been extremely generous with sharing operational best practices. So as we iterate the final design, it's also locking in some of how we'll have to operate based upon the layout of the building and the structure of those facilities. Fundraising, been doing a lot of work in the fundraising space. As mentioned, we have asked Representative Schoaf to carry a bill, $3.9 million, That would be the 2.9 plus another million, or 2.8 plus 1.1 in furniture, fixtures, and equipment. So getting the project construction is obviously priority one. Getting gear in the facility is it would be 1A, because we'll need to do that to drive occupancy. Had an opportunity to work with FAMU and ARPC on Build Back Better. We got the submission through. It was hard work on the part of everybody, including nights and weekends. I really appreciate the opportunity to collaborate with ARPC. We'll find out next week, next Wednesday, whether we were selected in phase one. It was highly competitive. There were 560 some odd grant applications. They'll award 50 to 60. Should ARPC be awarded, we'll immediately be executing on that scope of services. Northport Innovation Labs, Innovation Park has a role in that. And the phase two submission is a $75 million submission. That is due on the Ides of March, should we be selected for phase one. It's a project across the nine counties. We would have a central role in entrepreneurship, working with our ecosystem partners and partners around the region. So hopefully we'll be able to share some good news next week. And all of that fits within kind of the scope of what we're trying to develop for the Northport Innovation Labs. It really, the more we do to develop the ecosystem, the more opportunities we'll have to get clients into the Northport Innovation Labs. So that's why the focus on a lot of these things like SBIR, CTR, it's develop the whole ecosystem that eventually will fall into Northport Innovation Labs.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And we're looking at other funding opportunities. We're chasing some leftover CARES Act money to support our Collins plants. And we're looking, there are a number of other federal notice of funding that we'll chase as well, including equipment. We can move to the next slide. I met with the rest of the legislative staff so that they're aware of not only our request, but also what ARPC is doing. We shared that application. There's keen interest, obviously, in seeing what we're doing with our partners. I participated in the IMBIA Ecosystem Building Conference, as referenced earlier, highly relevant for exactly what we're doing. And then taking a look at what other successful ecosystems are doing, and those that have grown quickly are on the precipice of growth as we are. I'm continuing to participate in the local organizations. I think it was an excellent to raise our visibility in the business community as well as across our other ecosystem partners. We'll move on. We're working with the feds are very interested in finding innovation. And so with our partners at Florida A&M, we're working with a couple of intermediary organizations. One is Energetics. They work with the DOD and the Department of Navy. Another one is APEX. They're working with the Air Force. We're rolling out the first of a number of SBIR, STTR programs. The first one is Monday, and it's an introductory overview working with ETC, Energetics. And we're using the Navy as an example of the kinds of funding that non-dilutive funding that's available for early stage companies. We'll roll these out throughout the year with different funding agencies, both general awareness, and then the goal will be to get applications across the finish line and chase these federal dollars. These companies will be one-to-one correlation for folks that will go into the lab. So it's a pipeline that we'll cultivate forever. We'll also be standing up a platform called Startup Win, and FAMU is helping to support that funding.
That'll allow us to run concurrent trainings all the time. So it provides the backbone that we'll need to scale from 6 to 50 companies. As mentioned, we are also developing plans to build out Collins. And we see those offices on the other side as a great way to put early stage companies in and help cultivate them through the SBIR process, since office is a requirement for that funding. And we can continue. That's the workshop we're doing Monday, SBIR with Navy DOD. We can continue. And last but not least, not doing it's not an option, so we jumped into the marketing business. And Denise has been wonderful. I'm working with a young man, Rafe, who we worked with at Domi. So we are able to operate. It's running in another lane simultaneously, and I'm grateful for the opportunity to meet with Denise and get some of these things done while we were for a permanent. And I'm happy to entertain any questions.
I have worked in the past with trying to find quality talent by going to the universities, in this case, to the dean or whoever is in charge of marketing, and identifying an individual who's about to graduate that might want to start on a part-time basis working to full-time graduation or something, in early stage talent to come in that the dean says or the professor says is one of my top students. I just throw that out as a place to perhaps look for that talent.
Thank you. We are in conversations with Jim Rand College and the College of Communication and with FAMU. And that's clearly a part of our mid-term plans. Sometimes it takes an investment in time to bring interns up to speed. We have an approved internship contract now, and it's contemplated that interns would report to our marketing person. So I think you're right on point, and we're trying to line up a couple of interns for this spring semester.
Bill, in the conversations with the architects on the new building, has there been any query about whether another two floors could be added at some future point?
I don't think there's a plan to go vertically. The space over the loading dock will have sufficient architectural engineering to fill that out. And there are two potential entrances and exits to that space. So the team has been extremely thoughtful in terms of how we could grow, and then also how we could add technology like solar and some other things. So those conduits will be in place, and even EV charging stations.
I was just thinking in light of the fact that you're on a very limited space up sometimes maybe best and
we that was not a consideration in the project.
A lot of President McCullough's interest, so you may find that 50.
Well, given that the design is due next week, I don't think we're gonna be able to shift gears on that. What we do have is we have this space, which is a real asset. So we see this as an onboard and an offboarding as companies are beginning to scale.
And not everything needs lab space, obviously. And that's what we're looking at for here. And I know we have space in the corridor back here that we've tried to use, but it's not real desirable, and most of them don't have windows. Whereas we got a whole perimeter out here that's got a lot of very desirable space and even a suite or two that I think we could probably do a lot with. So yeah.
Kristen.
Going up takes a lot more structure, and the EDA had issues with kind of what the scope of their building was, right? I mean,
and that's more cost to build that kind of structure that could support going up.
Right.
We're still trying to figure out paper what we got.
Yeah. So I was always a fan of added floors and everything like that, but that was a challenge. So the question I had about, really, you mentioned, I think before, but it may have just been in our conversation, so the DOD or DOD and working on the SBIR and STTR. So I'm excited that's moving forward. I know it's my impression that President McCullough is also interested in looking at the Panama City campus. Obviously, that's within his purview. There seems like there's some alignment between the Build Back Better hub and spoke model for entrepreneurship. We've talked about the Panama City campus, but then also looking at DOD as, you know, having a real strong foothold west of us. Have those conversations come up? You don't have to go into any detail, but it just, part of the conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. We have an opportunity to collaborate with the state university system, and they're putting together a consortium with, my understanding is, University of West Florida, doing a lot with AI and machine learning, the Panama City campus, FAMU, and FSU, and another institution, I think, in UCF, and Marcy, who's involved with the DOD more broadly as a part of those conversations. So yes, and as I'm learning from the folks in the grant writing space, if we consider the intent of the funders, what they want to see is leveraging big opportunities and creating big impacts. So the idea that we create something across the entirety of the panhandle that leverages the military installations, we think plays well from the perspective of the funders. And that DOD is genuinely interested in finding new innovations for our fighting forces, and also that, you know, they have every human need that all the rest of us have. So they've got, you know, I learned about that when I was doing work in the autism space. You know, if you've got healthcare issues, you can't deploy in certain places. So it's a great opportunity. They're being extremely aggressive with our region generally and with HBCUs specifically.
But also, most people, I'm sure everyone in this room knows this, but most people don't know they're on the forefront of sustainable construction and looking at resiliency. And that's a huge focus in the funding and with our region particularly. So good. Okay. Thank you for that. The last thing I'll say is, putting on my other hat, I serve as chair of the ARPC board right now. So I want to compliment Bill and the FAMU team, Cindy coming in. This grant that you mentioned earlier, it was a substantial lift. So you kind of, you know, skirted right by a lot of hours and on weekends and everything. And I just wanted to let you all know that it was a huge lift. And Bill, you did a lot of work for that. We're going to be selected next week. We're going to be optimistic. But even if we were not, the conversations and the work that is developed through that, it's exposed some opportunities to really fill some gaps, perhaps, and ready us for future funding opportunities. But the hub and spoke model, just that this last thing, Planning Council is designated from the feds as our economic development district through EDA. So that's why they have a role. The North Florida Innovation grant that we received, it is a regional grant. So the more that we can show, I know Ron, you mentioned that it fits our goals of, you know, the authority, but it also really signals to EDA that we are now circling back and have that regional focus through North Florida and some of our partners across the region. And quite bluntly, I think I've brought this up before, but particularly this was a Hurricane Michael supplemental. Leon was not as impacted as some of the other counties. They couldn't have qualified for this type of loan for this type of facility or grant rather. So they're really feeling good about the conversation that started to expand some of the hub and spoke model and the entrepreneurial resources back out. So it meets our goals with recruiting and attracting folks, but it also, I think, positions us well for conversations with the EDA in the future. So we are doing what they hoped we would do with North Florida even before we've broken ground. So I just wanted to compliment that and add that community council side. And I think it is helpful for the future.
Excellent. Thank you. Bill, again, great work.
Thanks. I was part of a great team.
Any other comments?
Not related to any of this, but to go back to one of the comments that they made earlier, I would really kind of side with his comment and say that your idea of pushing the board into an hour and a half not makes a lot of sense. But I don't think you can have a strategic planning discussion sandwiched in an even more compressed environment. So I would advocate that we find a day, a half a day, that I know everybody's calendar's crazy, but to find a half a day that we devote to these kinds of strategic questions.
And thank you. I'm going to work with Ron. We'll come up with a schedule. And I think one of the things that we mentioned is that we would put some elements of this in multiple meetings going forward. I do think that this needs to be a continual conversation and not just a one stop, but I also want to be mindful of everybody's time. So duly noted, Ray, I appreciate it. Let me work with Ron. We will be mindful of all the competing priorities. Good. Unless there's another word, I'd like to adjourn the meeting. Motion to adjourn. Ahead.